I want to read to you a passage this morning, and what I want to speak to you about, I could start in 100 different places in Scripture. I just like this passage because it's my favorite, of course, I don't know all of them, but this is the favorite one that I know. Verse 1, Psalms 103. This is God speaking to His covenant people. People like you who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ about what He wants to do in your life. In verse 1, He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." This passage and many others speak to you and I again, and it tells us that God wants to bless our lives. Passages like this, and again many others, tell us that God's intent is to pour out into our lives abundance. He says that I came to give you life and more abundant life, Jesus says. There was a woman named Miss Ella Kelly who the great preacher Harry Wright tells about, and she would sit in his congregation in the amen corner. And others said amen, and a few others said praise the Lord, and others said hallelujah, but Miss Kelly would say, "He will do it." And emphasis was on will. He will do it. And this text is telling us that God wants to do some things in our lives. And He will do some things in our lives. It's a place in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 11, which is still staggering to me. It says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me of the things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands, command me." Isn't that an astounding passage? "Concerning the works of my hand," our Maker says, "tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it." And yet, of course, we know that the Bible tells us that He does not always do what we would want. You know in your own life that there are times when it seems like the storehouses of heaven are withheld from your grasp. This morning I want to talk to you, and this is a very simple sermon, but I want to talk to you about why sometimes God does not bless like we would want Him to or like we would hope to see. The Bible says one reason why God, although He promises to bless us, although He promises to pour out wonderful things in our lives, one of the reasons He will not do that is because we have impurities in our heart. There's an impurity in our heart. There's an impurity even in our asking. James 4:3 says this, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures." What James is simply saying is that when we ask God to do something, but we ask for selfish reasons, when there is a selfishness, a pride in our heart, and the blessings we would want from God, the things we would want from His hand, we would use to exalt ourselves or to lord over others or to increase our pleasures that would take us away from God. If that's where our heart is, the Bible says God is not inclined to bless us because of those feelings that we have. And God knows if He gives you the boat, whether you're going to come to church or whether you're going to be on the lake on Sunday. He knows where your heart is. He understands what your thinking is. I have a preacher who has mentored me in my life, and he was mentored by a great pastor in the Church of God. And he told me once that when he was a very young preacher, that senior pastor would let him sit in on counseling sessions. And that senior pastor who had great wisdom would listen to this woman or man pour out their heart to him, and there would be tears. And the senior pastor would just sit there and say, oh, that's terrible. That's awful. Put that on the list. We need to pray about that. And he said, I would sit there and say, you have so much wisdom. Speak into their life. Help them. And he said, it wasn't until later that senior pastor told me, he said, now listen, a lot of the people who come to have counsel from a preacher are only looking for a word from the preacher. They're fighting with their wife. They're fighting with their husband. They got family dissension. They have issues with another member of the church. All they want from you is a word from the pastor so that they can go back and say, even the pastor agrees with me. You're nothing but a dog. He said, and you have to discern what their motive is. If they're coming for the word, don't give it to them. Just say, I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. Don't give them the word because their heart is impure. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. If we're not asking for the right reason, if we're driven by pride or ego or vengeance to someone else, if we're driven by selfishness, God is not inclined to bless us because of the condition of our heart. The Bible says, secondly, not only does God look at the heart when he's looking at whether or not he's going to bless us, but he's also looking at our actions and our heart in this way. Psalm 66:18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard iniquity, if there's evil, if there's sin in my heart, and I regard it, which means I'm not repentant of it. I'm not sorry of it. I like it. I regard it. I hold it in high esteem. I don't want to give it up. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear when I pray. The Lord won't bless me if I regard iniquity in my heart. Now, that's a principle in Scripture. There's a place in 1 Kings chapter 18 where the nation has fallen away from God yet again, but worse than they had before, where Israel has fallen away. Ahab and Jezebel have brought in 450 priests of Baal to promote the worship of idolatry throughout the land. And Elijah the prophet comes to Ahab and he says, God sees the sin. God sees what's happening. And God says there'll be no provision. There'll be no rain until I say so. God has seen the sin. God says, I won't bless you anymore in the place that you're in. And things go from bad to worse. There's a drought on the land. No provision, no blessing from God. Over 3 years later, it comes to a head. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a fight, to a showdown on Mount Carmel. The test is to see whose God is the true God. And the true God will send fire down when the prophets pray. Prophets of Baal pray all day. They scrape themselves. They cut themselves. Nothing comes. Elijah builds the altar. He puts the wood on the altar. He puts water on the wood, and he puts a trench of water around the wood. And then he begins to pray. And the Bible says the fire comes down. It destroys the wood, the altar, and laps up the water. Then Elijah says, where are the prophets at? Elijah inspires the people to take the false prophets, and all of them are killed in the valley down beneath. And then after that, something else happens that I want to talk to you later, but it's only after that iniquity is dealt with that rain comes into the land. Now, the Bible isn't about what happened. The Bible is about what always happens. God withholds blessings when we hold on to our sin. Now, everybody gets common grace. It rains on the just and the unjust, Jesus says, in that everybody gets water, everybody normally gets food, everybody gets air. But if you want the blessings of God, if you want the joy and the peace and the wisdom and the knowledge that God can give and even greater blessings, maybe even materially, I'm not ruling that out. You and I can't regard iniquity in our hearts. We have to deal with the sin issue. We have to. There's a place, and let me preach like an old-time preacher today. You can deal with some old-time holiness preaching, can't you? Look at this passage. This is the man Men, husbands, likewise dwell with them, their wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Some of you didn't like that, but that's in the book. And as being heirs together of grace, that your prayers be not hindered. What's God saying? If you're not good to your wife, you're not going to be blessed of God. Look at this other verse. It's even hotter. And this is the second thing you do. God is reading them right. He said, you cover the altar of the Lord with your prayers, with weeping and crying. Here's a bunch of guys who really want God to do something in their life. He says, but he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife of covenant. Listen, God is saying, men, you can weep all you want to. You can cry all you want to. But if you divorced the wife that was faithful to you to marry a trophy wife, I'm not going to hear your prayer. Now, if you're a father, you know why. You might have millions of dollars. But if you got a daughter married to a guy that's not treating her right, that won't show her respect, if he shows up at your house and says, oh, daddy-in-law, I just need $1,000. You know how much money he's going to get, even though you got millions? He ain't getting nothing until he treats your daughter right again. That's the way God feels about his daughters, the daughters of Zion. He's saying, if you regard iniquity in your heart, guys, I'm not going to bless you. Let me be an equal opportunity preacher. Wives, some of the reasons why men can't support you is because you can't quit spending. You live on the credit cards. You live as though coveting isn't a sin. Coveting is what you is wanting more of what you've got enough of already. It's just not that he can't provide for you. It's that you regard iniquity in your heart. You believe there's only 9 commandments and coveting isn't in the list. Some of you are not going to have your prayers answered because the Bible says you ought to be respectful and you can't shut your mouth when you need to. And if you want the Bible for it, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 11 through 31 through 40. 1 Timothy chapter 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 through 12. Ephesians chapter 5, that's the words. So go look them up. Listen, you say, well, that's just the way I am. My mama was that way. Well, listen, just because your mama henpecked your daddy don't mean that you need to be a hen that pecks your husband. If you regard iniquity in your heart, and say, well, that's just the way I am. I just like nice things. Well, that's just the way I am. My mother was abusive with her mouth, and I'm just like my mother. I tell it like it is. That's just the way I am. If you're a husband and you say, listen, I'm just tough. You know, I'm John Wayne. I'm the Lord of this house. God's saying, I see it all, and I'm not going to bless you if you regard that kind of iniquity in your heart. Now, single people, what do single people like to do? They like to sleep around before they get married. If you do that, you are closing the storehouses of heaven in your life. God is not going to bless you while you break the Ten Commandments. And that's in the Ten Commandments. God is going to withhold blessing from you. And you can sit around and say, listen, I'm just trying to flirt to convert. I'm really doing it for the Lord. Listen. If you want God to send the right man into your life, be the right woman. Be the right person. You know, single people, you got such great creative ways to justify yourself. You know, listen, we're going to get married anyway. Well, get married. Get married. Well, we're married in God's eyes anyway. Now you just gone and sinned again. God didn't tell you that. And I've heard that in my life. We're married in the eyes of God. No, you're not. Sometimes singles say, well, we're just, trying out for marriage. No, you're trying out for divorce. Trying out for divorce. Some say, well, you know, the reason that we're living together and in this relationship is because for financial reasons. It's just cheaper that way. Listen, ladies. If you got a guy that can't afford a house, and he don't have any friends that will let him stay at their house, you need to admit that you don't have a first-round draft pick. And you might want to draft another husband. Listen, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Bible says, I won't bless you. There's a place in Numbers chapter 11 where the people are in the wilderness. The Israelites are in the wilderness. And they've had manna. Don't run manna down. Jesus is called the manna. Manna was chocolate on top of chocolate. It was the best food ever invented. But they're tired of the manna. And they come to God and they're just complaining. They're low down. They got nothing good to say. They're ungrateful. They come to Moses. They're really coming to God. And they say, we want meat. And God says, well, Moses, give them meat. We'll give them meat. And look at what he says in Numbers chapter 11. He says, I'll give you meat and you won't eat it 1 day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days or 20 days. I'll give them meat for a month. For a whole month until it comes out their nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? He's saying, I'll give them meat until it's coming out their nose and they hate it. I'll give it to them. But I'm not going to give them satisfaction. What they want is satisfaction. I won't give it to them. I'll give them the meat and I'll withhold the satisfaction. See, sometimes you're unhappy because God's not letting you be happy. It's just that simple. You got everything in the world. You got a nice house. You got a nice family. You got nice things and a nice job, and you're miserable. And the reason you're miserable is because God's saying, I'm not going to let you be happy. I've given you the meat, and I'm going to withhold the happiness in your life. I am not going to bless you as long as you're an ungrateful, unthankful person. Sometimes God, again, will say, your heart's impure. I'm not going to give it to you. If I gave it to you, you'd use it for the wrong thing. Sometimes God says, listen, you regard sin in your life. You're treating people awful. You're treating people that are created in my image awful. You're ungrateful to me. I am not going to pour out blessings in your life if you're living that way. There's another reason, a third reason. And that is that sometimes blessings are withheld because we refuse to co-labor with God to see things that are important to God come to pass. There's a principle in the scripture, which is this. A lot of the things we want from God, God doesn't give to us. He comes up to us and he says, I'll work with you to bring it about. That's what he did with Moses. Moses, once the children of Israel develop, God says, Moses, you go and I'll go with you, but you got to go. He says to Esther, you go and I'll go with you. When you ask God to do something in your life, be willing to be a co-laborer with God. We got people praying for the country. God, help our nation. They didn't even vote the last election. We got people praying for a revival in the church. They haven't been to church in 3 months. What are you talking about? There are folks praying for lost loved ones to be saved, and they don't witness to them. Why are you praying for lost loved ones to be saved when you're not living the life in front of them and you're not telling them about Jesus? So one of the reasons, again, that prayers aren't answered is that we simply are not willing to work with God. But now there's a fourth reason, and it's this. Sometimes the blessings that could come into our life don't come into our life. Because my wife's here. Hurts my illustrating when my wife's there. I just saw her there. Looking good. Sometimes the blessings don't come into our life because God doesn't think we really want it. And that's demonstrated in our prayer life. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says this. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, pray without ceasing. You know, God's a father. And one of the things you know when you become a parent that didn't always dawn on you before you had kids was this. Kids want everything. And you spend a lot of energy as a parent trying to figure out what they really want. Amazon sent out the children's toys in the magazine in November, December. We gave it to Maria. Maria is four. She'll be five tomorrow. And said, circle what you think you might want. First two pages, she circles almost everything. Third page, she finds out this is a waste of time. She starts drawing circles around the whole page. And then she might mark something out here and there. And even if I could give it to her, everything she wanted, I know she can't want that stuff. I know her pattern. She plays with stuff for 3 days and she throws it away. It's not my job as a parent to bring junk into her life that she's going to play with and throw away. That's her grandparents' job. They do it well. God is looking at you and I, and He is wondering what we really want. Do you really want it? And you know, with your kids, you're trying to figure out what is it that they really want. If their mind keeps coming back to it time and time and time again, you start to say, you know what, they really want that. Maybe I will make that happen. If they come to you and say, hey, I'll work a job to earn money to get it. Now you know they really want it. They're willing to work for it and earn money to get it. You spend your life trying to figure out what they really want because you know their hearts run after everything. And God, I think, is doing that in my life and in your life. He's looking at our lives and He's saying, are there impurities? Are there things you're holding on to? Is there a simple unwillingness to help me? You don't want it that much if you're not even to help bring it about. But He's also looking at how much our minds come back to that thing. And that's an issue of prayer. That's an issue of prayer. I mentioned the passage in 1 Kings 18. And Elijah is there. And great passage. Elijah has won the victory. The prophets have been killed. But the sky is still blue. But in verse 41, listen to what he says. He says, and Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of an abundance of rain. And I get that. Elijah's saying, there's blessing. I can't see it, but I can hear it. There's blessing on the horizon. We've dealt with the sin issue. And I have stood up. I have been a co-laborer with God. Sin's been dealt with. I haven't been lazy. I've been a co-laborer with God. And I just sense that blessing is on the way in this land. So I can hear it. I can't see it. Look at verse 42. Look what happens. And this is a great prophet, by the way. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. Now, what does that mean? Blessings. I just believe blessings over the horizon. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up here. I'm going to bow to the ground. Now, I'm not very flexible. I can't get my face between my knees. But he gets down like this. What's he doing? Let me give you a hint. In our day, when a woman is in labor, it's so easy for them They put them in a nice bed. They give them lots of drugs. It's the easiest thing in the world. And they put them in a nice bed, and then they put their legs, their feet in the stirrup, and people grab them by the arms, and at some point the doctor yells, "Push." And with great strength, all the strength they can summon, they push and they push and they push until the baby comes. Now, they didn't do that in the Old Testament. What women would do, they got down. They got their hands down. And they travailed until the baby came. They travailed, they pushed with great intensity, they pushed until they birthed that baby. Now here's Elijah, great prophet, went to heaven in a chariot, great power with God, but he says, "I think there's some blessing on the horizon. Again, the sin's been dealt with. I haven't been lazy. There's some blessing, but there's one final thing I need to do. I got to birth this thing." He gets down. He gets down and he begins to push and he begins to pray for the rain. And in verse 43, it says this. He prays a little bit and then he says, "Servant, get up now, go towards the sea and see if there's anything. Do you see anything?" Servant comes back and says, "I don't see a thing." Elijah says, "Ah, jeez. Second time, "Servant, go see if you see anything." Comes back, "I don't see a thing." Oh, gee whiz. You pray. Seventh time, servant comes back and says, "I think I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, and it's coming this way." Listen to me. There's some things that aren't going to happen till God knows we want it, and we're going to have to get into a birthing position of prayer to bring it about. It's travailing. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 that as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth children. That was the church praying and praying and praying until the Lord changed lives and people found the Lord. You and I are going to have to travail in this thing. Do you need a miracle in your house? A miracle in your job? A miracle in your family? Do you need wisdom or knowledge or even healing or financial help? You're going to have to birth that thing. Prayer. Now listen. God gives common grace to all. We're all blessed of God. But there's also specific grace. There's abundant blessing that can come. It's a blessing and then there's abundant blessing. God has a will that prayer has nothing to do with. There are some things God wills and they will be brought about whether or not you or I pray. But there are other things that God will do or won't do if we don't pray, and will do if we will pray. If we will travail in prayer. Now let's stand. Musicians, you come. I want to ask you today, have you dealt with the sin issue in your life? Have you dealt with the motive issues in your life? Are you willing to help if God says, "Hey, what you need, I'm willing to bring about, and I'm sending you. Will you go?" Have you got to that place of surrender? If you have, there's one final thing you got to do. You got to birth that thing in prayer. You got to birth it in prayer. Does anyone here feel pregnant today? A few of you over here do. Yeah, there's two that feel pregnant over here. But are there any guys that feel pregnant today? It's like, I need it. I need blessing. My family needs help. I need wisdom. There's got to be something that changes in my life. I need sufficiency. And I just believe. I've dealt with the sin issue. I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. And I just believe there's some blessing waiting right over there. Why don't you bring the blessing into your life, travailing in prayer? Because God wants to know how badly you want it. God wants to know how much you care. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Get pregnant. Birth that thing in your life. Because God is willing. But you got to show Him you care. Because we spend our lives drawing great big circles around everything. God gave it all with be just. Do you want it? Do you want it? God's looking to see how much you want it. And that's in the book. Father, I pray for those who are here today.